And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Utah, Anaheim, and Pittsburgh have caught fire. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 17, Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. What's going on, Jake? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Nick. Snowmageddon here this weekend, so I was cooped up inside, and a great place to be to sit back and watch a lot of this hockey. Like you mentioned, a few teams really hot right now, trying to put themselves in good position before we hit the pause button in February for the Olympics.
Are the Anaheim Ducks back? That is my question. Defensively, I got some questions. There's some guys banged up, but they're winning a lot of hockey games. What's that, seven in a row now, Jake?
Seven in a row. They're doing it in some different ways, right, Meany, as well? Because early in the year, it was, okay, just offense. And they're still getting a little bit of that, but we know they've had some injuries up front. Now they're doing it a little bit better defensively, certainly getting the goaltending as well. So, Meany, would you say the Ducks are back? And are they a team that maybe we'd even take seriously on that Pacific side of the bracket if they do get in?
I think so. Like, offensively, they can bring it, right? They got some guys that can score some goals. And, you know, without Leo Carlson, this is nice to see, right? The seven-game winning streak. Beckett Seneca had a hat trick last night. Mikael Granlund's chipping in. They're still a team, though, Nick, that gives up a lot of high-danger chances. And I wonder, you know, what that looks like come playoff time. Can they tighten up their game? Do they add a defenseman, a veteran defenseman on the blue line? But offensively, they're bringing it. And the Pacific is pretty top-heavy at the moment.
It is a very unique year, and I think a theme moving forward will be some like new buyers into the fold as we get closer and closer to the Olympic freeze. We're going to talk a bit about the trade deadline, the Olympic trade freeze coming up with some potential names that could be on the move. But Anaheim's in the equation for a guy like Artemi Panarin. I think they're going to be buyers. And I think Utah, Jake, is going to be buyers. What a storyline that team has become this month. 9-1-1 in January. Kirill Vemelka's on fire. 9-1-0 in his last 10. 2.19, 9-1-6. He's also picked up an assist. Like, this guy is doing everything. Are you a believer in what Utah is selling right now, Jake?
I am, only because I liked Utah coming into the season. Now, they'd really disappointed me about halfway through the season, where I've never really seen that ceiling game from Utah for longer than maybe a game or two. Now they're playing it for a few weeks, and it looks like the team that I was hoping they would be at the start of the year. Defense is starting to come together. Clayton Keller is just a stud up front. We knew that, but he's taken some games over, and you mentioned it, Nick, they are getting the goaltending as well. So it's going to be tough in the West. We know that. We know who the top dogs are. Are they on par with those top teams? I don't think so, but I just making the playoffs would be a positive step for this franchise, missing for so long in Arizona, now having a chance to make it in Utah. I think very important to show that fan base in playoff hockey.
And means most importantly is just the value they've brought in fantasy hockey this season. When it starts to the crease, likely a waiver wire pickup, and Vemelka's been on fire, but Keller's got 17 points, plus 16 in the last 11. Gunther's got 13 points in the last 11. Contract year Schmaltz, 13 points in the last 11. Kraus is 10-10. Sergachev, 10-11. It's a gold mine right now, it means.
It really is. Now, this is a team that I think can actually make some noise in the playoffs, maybe pull off an upset. Vemelka leads the NHL in wins, 25. The next closest is Vasilevskiy with 22 wins, right? So he's got a nice cushion there. He gets a majority of the starts. You mentioned all those players are contributing. This is a Dylan Gunther show as well. We love Dylan Gunther. Mikhail Sergachev on the back end is contributing. I think Utah's got four games this week, so maybe you need some blocks. Sean Durzi could, you know, hit the score sheet and pick up a couple blocks. I love the Kraus call. Hayton scored last night. So there's a lot of players here to like, Nick. And also, this is a team that I think could actually be buyers. Like, it's fun to say the Ducks may buy Panarin. I don't think that's a smart move for them. But, like, how about Utah making a splash like that? I could certainly see it.
Why not? There's some perennially big names available on the trade block, and maybe Utah gets engaged in that, not just to make the playoffs, but make some damage in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I know it's going to be rather difficult probably in that division, but you just never know. And Jake, it got me wondering about a pretty interesting question. I know this is not a mailbag edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice, but two goalies specifically we've talked a lot about in January, Kirill Vemelka and John Gibson. Who would you rather have for rest of season purposes? That's my question.
Really good question. And yeah, it's never too early to dig into the mailbag. The mailbag's been very full, so we could get a couple in on a Monday show and save the rest for Thursday. I think I'm leaning towards Gibson there. I'm curious Meany's take on this. It's just Detroit continues to prove more to me, just a little bit more than Utah. And I think Utah is still going to have some tough matchups down the stretch facing those beasts in the Central Division, where there could be some rough games for Vemelka still at some point. But yeah, Gibson has proven it to me. Can he stay healthy? Well, we say that about every goaltender in the league at this point. So I think you just got to roll the dice with anybody and hope and pray and that you get him for the more important games in fantasy playoffs. So what about you, Meany? Gibson or Vemelka? I'm going to go Gibson here because the Red Wings have finally, after all these months, made a believer out of me.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I know I've been hard on Gibson in the past, and it's not because what he can bring to the table. We're seeing it firsthand. I mean, this guy is the 13th ranked fantasy hockey player, number one goalie, but player over the last 30 days. He's got a 9.33 save percentage. He has 9 wins. I think he has, what, 2 losses in the last 20-some-odd games. He's got a 1.9 goals against average. Detroit is playing really good hockey at the moment. So the health factor is there for him, right? He's playing with a high level of confidence. So I'll lean him. And guys, you know who's third among goalies over the last 30 days? How about Stuart Skinner? If you take away that first game against the revenge. Edmonton Oilers, where he got spanked in Edmonton, where it was a big dry settle night. Remember when they were celebrating right in front of him? Well, since that game, he is 7-1 with a 1.63 goals against average and a 9.34 save percentage. Alberg, I was starting to buy the fact that they may sell this guy to a team like Carolina at the deadline. Hey, maybe they just hang on to him because the Penguins are chasing down the Hurricanes for the top spot in the Metro. That is remarkable.
This story's epic, man. They made that trade back on December 12th, and profoundly, Skinner has been better than Jarry. Watching Edmonton over the weekend, I'm like, they still can't get a save. Like, it's actually sickening as a hockey fan to watch that team sometimes. But yeah, the Skinner story's been tremendous, Jake, and Pittsburgh in general. Kyle Dubas, Dan Muse, you're almost in a position where you got to be a buyer. If you recall last summer, we're all talking about Sidney Crosby. Where is he going at the deadline? They're going to buy, I think, Jake. They perfect road trip. They're 5-0-2 in the last 7. They're getting saves. Evgeny Malkin's throwing back the claw. Crosby's been Crosby, and it's been a great formula so far for this team.
I know Kyle Dubas has taken his fair share of flack over the years, and some of it from myself going back to his Leafs days, early days here in Pittsburgh. But if he could somehow pull this off and thread the needle in Pittsburgh, and like I'm not saying win a Stanley Cup, but even win a round of playoff hockey and get something out of these last years of Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, I think we'll all have to tip the cap a little bit. Like that's pretty impressive. And I don't know if they're going to be a full buyer, but you know maybe add some of these smaller pieces. Like we talk about who could be in the Panarin sweepstakes. I like how you guys mentioned off the top, more of like an Anaheim, a Utah, teams that are on the rise over the next few years where it would kind of make sense. Pittsburgh, maybe not a piece like that, but I do think, Meany, they could go for maybe some of these secondary pieces. And again, not a full all-in type buyer, but tinker with the roster, add a little bit. And they got a good thing going on in Pittsburgh right now. It's become an incredible story.
Well, you know Kyle Dubas likes to make a trade. My favorite video or meme of all time is when he's got the two phones next to him, right? He's like he's sitting there at the NHL draft and he's he's working a couple trades. So, yeah, the Penguins they've been fantastic. Crosby's tied for 8th in goals, and you know the two underrated players on his line, Brian Rust and Ricard Raquel, when those guys are healthy, it's one of the best 5-on-5 lines in the NHL. When you look at fantasy points per game, Rust and Raquel are top 50 players. They just are. And they both have missed time over the past couple of years. But when they're healthy, that's a really good top line. We'll see what the extent of the Malkin injury is, Nick. Last night, it was extremely weird. But since he's been back in the lineup, I mean, he's got hit goals in 3 straight, 11 points, roughly in 11 games. Tommy Novak's playing good on that second line. Letang and Carlson are back in the lineup. So, hey, man, the Penguins are playing good hockey. And I would not be surprised if Dubas was a buyer, man. Like, he just, again, he loves to make a move.
You hope the best for that Malkin shoulder. You're right. But the other guy I'd like to add is Igor Chinnikov. 13 games so far here with Pittsburgh. 5 goals, 2 assists, 7 points. And it seems like a very under-the-radar type pickup. Anthony Mantha in a contract year, just a 1-year deal here with Pittsburgh, has been really, really good as of late. And, Jake, we move forward to, obviously, the trade freeze for the Olympics. February 4th at 3 p.m. Eastern time goes all the way until February 22nd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern time. And then, ultimately, the trade deadline drops Friday, March 6th, we're 39 days away from this thing. Any names stick out for you?
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, obviously we're going to talk a lot about Artemi Panarin and what's going to happen there. We know he's as good as gone, but if you're the Rangers, you want to make sure you get the right landing spot for him, you get the right return for him coming back. So I'm curious if any of these teams that we talk about being in the mix are going to do it before the trade freeze or wait until after. Just because there's a trade freeze doesn't mean, though, the wheels aren't spinning and you're not thinking about things and getting things ready for when you are allowed to make a trade again. So interested to see, Nick, if we do get some action here over the next week or so. so. I know you're the big trade guy. And Nazem Kadri is a name I continue to come back to, a name I've thought about now for a couple of years. Doesn't feel like we're hearing a lot about, you know, potential destinations or Calgary close to a trade. But after they traded Rasmus Anderson, to me, that means the for sale sign is, if it's not on the lawn, they're at least getting it out of the garage. They're getting it ready to put on the lawn. And I think Nazem Kadri should be going here at some point. And there's a ton of teams. You could list probably 7 or 8 teams that could use a Nazem Kadri down the middle right now.
And I think the biggest reason for that, it's a seller's market. So I think if you're a team in a position like Calgary who knows they're not going to the Stanley Cup playoffs, put yourself in position to get the best value possible in a deal. The other team I'm looking at means is the St. Louis Blues. I know Doug Armstrong is preoccupied with the Olympics coming up in Team Canada, but they're just always a team you don't really think about, and he's one of the busiest GMs in hockey, and you start to hear the name Robert Thomas or a Kyrou or a Falk, like Binnington. I think St. Louis is a team I'm looking at very, very closely. If they want to retool or rebuild, whatever word they want to use, I'm very interested in what they do here.
Yeah, that's a good call, right? The Blues have been aggressive over the past few years, whether it's buying or selling. There was some Jordan Kyrou rumors in the offseason. You know, they traded away Zach Boldu. Could they move on from a Justin Falk, a Colton Pareko, a Cam Fowler? Like, those are defensemen that could really help a lot of teams that are either bubble teams or close to being true Stanley Cup contenders. And Dylan Holloway returned to St. Louis over the weekend to get an MRI on his ankle. So it's just been a complete mess in St. Louis. They're dead last in the Central right now. So I'll throw Vincent Trocheck's name in the hat as well, because, you know, Nick, you brought him up last week and I really started to think about this a lot more, and the Rangers are just a complete mess at the moment. We all know that Panarin is most likely gone, but Vincent Trocheck would be an extremely good get. I like the Kadri call, Jake, right? That's a guy that's kind of locked up over the next couple of years, right? Might take a lot to kind of to get him. Trocheck, I think, could be had, and man, that would be a great get for a lot of teams.
Well, and I hear a lot of teams that are being mentioned in the Panarin sweepstakes, if we want to call it that. And then I look at the roster and I go, do they really need a winger? It feels like they more so need a center. When I look at, you know, teams like Minnesota, when I look at teams like Montreal, when you look at some of the other teams we mentioned, heck, even Anaheim now with the Leo Carlson injury, they feel like they would be more in the center market than they would the winger market. And then we just mentioned a couple of them in Nazem Kadri and Vincent Trocheck as well, Nick. So there's a lot of options out there. I'm glad you brought up St. Louis as well, because not a team we thought would be a seller at the start of the year, but they can't be happy with what's going on with the Blues right now, even from some of their top players, like we talked about with a guy like Robert Thomas, who they built this roster around. Are we headed to a point where maybe St. Louis is going to have to almost start from scratch, or maybe lean more into their younger guys like Dalibor Dvorsky and a Jimmy Snuggerud and kind of reset this thing in St. Louis?
Really feels like that team's stuck in the mud, right? Where it's like, I have no direction as to where I'm going. And then, as Means mentioned, like Dylan Holloway, it's been a very turbulent season for him after year one in St. Louis was outstanding. People are wondering, what in the world were the Oilers doing letting this guy go? And it's, again, a lot of injuries this year, but that's a theme around this league with the condensed schedule. A lot of returns this past week, right? Means where you look at Bo Horvat, Brad Marchand had a killer weekend for Florida. Stolarz randomly returned, got pelted by the Vegas Golden Knights. Matt Boldy, Darcy Kemper, Drysdale back in the mix, Erickson Ek. Linus Allmark's going to come back this week. Letang, Hedo, like it's been that type of year where day by day, and we don't do the show for a couple of days, we come back and half the league seems to come back from injury here.
It's been a challenge to kind of keep up with some of these injuries, yeah. You know, in our rankings, like moving guys out, moving guys in. But I think some of the biggest names that you mentioned to me, Matt Boldy, right? The Minnesota Wild are playing some pretty good hockey. I think that they're in the market for a center. I don't think that they can go into the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs against the Dallas Stars with Ryan Hartman as their number one center. But, you know, Hartman is still playing with Kaprizov. You got Johansson back in the lineup. You mentioned Boldy. So there's a lot of good things happening in Minnesota. Marchand looks like, you know, he's back with that line that was so good in the playoffs with Luostarinen and Lindell. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see a little bit of a sprinkle, Jake, over the weekend where it's like Carter Verhaeghe playing with Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Bennett, and you start to feel those Florida vibes again. So those are some of the two biggest names and some of the two biggest teams that I'll be, you know, following here down the stretch of the season.
Florida has to get a move on. I am glad to see those players back in Minnesota as well. And they did a good job treading water while guys like Erickson Ek, Boldy, some of these key pieces in their top six were not there. And Erickson Ek does so much at both ends of the ice for that team. And I am curious if they continue to add here moving forward, Nick. So a lot going on in the hockey world at the moment right now. And, you know, look, also glad to see Linus Allmark come back after what he said he was going through, see him on the ice. Hasn't started a game yet, but, you know, are we confident confident in firing up Ullmark into our lineup. We know Ottawa is going to be very desperate. They need wins here down the stretch to just to make the playoffs. So I feel like Ullmark's going to get a lot of playing time if he's good with it.
Ullmark, of course, backing up Matt Sogard over the weekend in that very nice win for the Ottawa Senators against the Vegas Golden Knights on Sunday. Week 17, here we go, Jake. January 26th to February 1st, moving forward here to Week 17. Monday, 5 games, 10 on Tuesday, 3 Wednesday, 15 on Thursday, 1 on Friday, 14 Saturday, 3 on Sunday, a total of 51. The team you want to look at this week, the Los Angeles Kings. I've already made my pickups, guys, like Corey Perry. They got a 5-game week. Then you got 4-game teams, Boston, Columbus, the Islanders, Rangers, Philadelphia, Utah, Vegas. Total of 7 teams and 2-game teams you want to stay away from. Waiver wire pickup-wise, Calgary, Ottawa, and Pittsburgh. 3 teams in total, Jake.
I loaded up on Kings over the weekend to get ready for this week, the 5-game week, the unicorn week, as I like to call it. Guys like Corey Perry, Alex Laferriere, who's their first-line center. I don't think that's a good thing right now, but that's just is what it is in L.A., and he's soaking up a lot of minutes. Brant Clark on the back end, starting to get that power play time, which I think he certainly deserves and probably should get more playing time, if I'm being completely honest. So I like the Corey Perry shout-out. Lots of options for L.A. 5 road games this week, Meany, for the Kings. They're going to be real busy.
Yeah, and a couple back-to-backs as well. You know, Perry probably shouldn't be on the first line either, but I like the pickup. This is the time of the season, right? You need to just get the most out of your moves. And with a schedule like this, 10 games on Tuesday, 15 on Thursday, 14 on Saturday. You look at those lighter games, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. The Blue Jackets got a great schedule. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they play also 4 games. You have some teams to start the week as well, playing on Monday and Wednesday. The Islanders and the Rangers will mix in the Ducks in there as well. So check out the cheat sheet at NHL.com/fantasy, and you can get some of those low-key, under-the-radar pickups.
Love it. As you bring in Pete Jensen, and Pete, we talk about trades. The Mason Marchment deal, I think, has worked out favorably so far here for Columbus, coming off a great weekend, and he's on your list this week, right?
Right. We talked about him a couple weeks back, right after the trade. You saw the early returns in the props market as a fantasy pickup. I actually had him stashed on my injured reserve for a while, couldn't hold on to him after he came back from injury, and I regret that because a multi-point game the other day, and he's playing on the top line with Fantilli and Marchenko, also power play 2, 11 points in 9 games. You can't beat that since the trade to Columbus.
We are seeing a boost in Nashville of maybe the last month or so. This team's playing a lot better. Guys like Steven Stamkos have totally turned around their season, gone from fantasy dud to fantasy stud, maybe might even score 40 this year. But you got another veteran Nashville Predator on your list this week, Pete. It's crazy to see his ownership this low, but this is where we've gotten to with some of these players starting to trend up a little bit, though.
Right. I like Jonathan Marchessault, former low-key Conn Smythe Trophy winner from his days in the past with Vegas, now with Nashville. Kind of a down year last year, but you saw his offensive zone time percentage even last year. Nashville's always high in that department, and it's high again this year, and now you're starting to see him reaping the rewards. Goals in consecutive games, played high ice time the last game, his highest in a while, and he sees some power play time as well. And yeah, back to Stamkos. I mean, this has become a guy now that you are rolling out regardless of circumstance, whether it's the Fantasy Stars game, props market, goal prop, fantasy, must-start player every single night. Nice to see this fountain of youth for Stammer.
And how about Ryan O'Reilly? You look at the last 5 games, he's got 2 3-point games, he's a 4-point game. I thought the Predators would be sellers, but maybe they'll just hang on to some of these veteran pieces right now. The Sens have 2 games this week, Pete, but Ridly Gregg is a guy that's kind of moved up the lineup, and an impressive win against the Golden Knights, as Nick said. Putting up a 7 spot against Vegas is extremely impressive.
He's covering a lot of categories right now, and he's playing up top with Brady Tkachuk and Dylan Cousins, 2 fantasy studs. I have Tkachuk in one league, and this guy is just nearly as good as it gets. Probably a top 5 overall player in fantasy when he's healthy. 8 points in his past 7 for Ridly Gregg. Covers points, shots on goal, faceoff wins. He's got 180. He's got 60 hits this year and 32 blocks. Not too shabby for a forward. So he checks some of those edge boxes as well. Max skating speed, high danger shots on goal. And when he gets, even if he doesn't get that power play 1 or power play 2 time, he's getting the top 6 usage, and that's all you want for the efficient, even strength performance of Ridly Gregg for the rest of the season.
Pete, I know you weren't here on Thursday, but I know you listened, and Konstantinos got some shout out here from the podcast, but the Buffalo Sabres have been an incredible story. I know you saw them firsthand in person on Saturday on Long Island. But I want to do a tie-in here. Jason Zucker obviously doing great things with Buffalo, and a former Sabre in Colorado and Victor Olofsson, right?
Great placement for both of these guys. Olofsson's up top. He's earned it with MacKinnon and Nietzsche's. And Jason Zucker has been on power play one for a while for Buffalo. He's missed a lot of time this year, but he's got 27 points in 32 games and leads the Sabres in power play goals this season with six. And then if you look deeper on the per game basis, he's second on the Sabres in goals per game and tied for second in points per game on the roster, minimum 20 games. So when he's healthy, he's another one of those guys has been dazzling in the props market, and now he's earning his spot onto deep league fantasy rosters around the country.
Pete, most of us got hit with a lot of snow in this area. I'm going to be digging deep with the shovel after the show. You're digging deep on the waiver wire here with a couple of really low-owned guys. Guys at 1%, 3%. A guy that we brought up last week in Jeffrey VL. This is an interesting name to see on your list. But you got a couple of really low-owned guys that can help out people in deep leagues this week.
Try the VL, right? Like, I mean, this is a good opportunity for him playing on a line with, I know you love that phrase, Nick. I stole your thunder there, but Cutter Gauthier is on the second line with Jeffrey VL. It's an undrafted 28-year-old. He was acquired a couple of weeks ago from the Boston Bruins in a low-key trade. And in five games with the Ducks, he's covering points. He's got 3-2 goals, 9 shots, 18 hits, and 4 blocks. So if you're in one of those deep bangers leagues and you're trying to pick up somebody who can check that hits box for you, it is VL right now for Anaheim.
Pete, what are we doing on the blue line? It seems to be so tough to find a defenseman that you can just roll out consistently at this time of the season. Maybe you got to dig deep, look for somebody who can block a few shots, you know, provide a couple hits. What do you got for us?
So Simone Nemec, remember prior to Luke Hughes coming back, or Hamilton, whoever it was earlier in the season, he saw that expanded role. He had a hat trick earlier in the season. He's covering some nice categories for you. He's got 8 goals this season. He's actually among the defenseman leaders, 91st percentile in both high danger goals with 2 and mid-range goals with 4 this season. So now that Luke Hughes is out indefinitely right now, you could look for Nemec to fill an offensive void on your roster. Although I don't fully trust the Devils, Nemec is a high-quality player, former number 2 pick in the draft. Also, Cam York from the Flyers has kind of been checking some underlying boxes all season long. A lot of block shots. He's got 87 this year. Actually also covers high danger shots on goal. He's got 9, which is 95th percentile among defensemen, under the radar there. And he's playing 22, almost 23 minutes per game this season for the Flyers through thick and thin.
I have a duty for you. One of my teams, I just can't get a save right now, and my guys are just so banged up, IR bound, and I'm just looking anywhere. Montembeau can't make a save. Saros can't make a save. Find me a save, Pete Jensen, please.
Well, Alex Lyon, still only 22% rostered. We've talked about him a number of times on these waiver wire lists, but with the shutout the other day, 5-0 against the Islanders, just had to mention him again. Also, Anton Forsberg, I heard all that Kings chatter. I don't love what the Kings are doing this season, a fringe playoff team, but Anton Forsberg has been reliable. The Kings as a team with Kemper and Forsberg, 7th in team save percentage. Forsberg does have a shutout this year, pretty decent record, and he is checking a couple of those edge stats boxes, the long-range save percentage, the high-danger save percentage, the 5-on-5 save percentage, and with 5 games this week and 2 back-to-backs, you could roll him out, get a couple of spot starts from him.
Pete, phenomenal stuff. NHL.com/fantasy for a look at the entire Week 17 waiver wire list. Time for a break. On the other side, we'll get to On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. For now, we'll look at NHL Fantasy Stars with Petey and Means.
All right, Petey, how'd your Fantasy Stars lineup do over the weekend?
Did really well, led by Brock Nelson. He had a hat trick the other day. He's had a number of games. 4 of his past 5 games, he's had at least 4 shots on goal. He's up to 45 points in 50 games this season. Totally reaching his ceiling in that Avalanche offense right now. And I've hung tough with him in Fantasy Stars this season, getting rewarded as a result.
Are you ever? He's like 3rd in goals since the end of November. I have Cutter Gauthier on my team. He's 3rd in shots. And you can train these players to get more fantasy points. He's got a nice floor because of the shot volume. So I trained him to get more points when he shoots the puck. And I picked up Mason Marchment on the open market for only 300 coins, Pete. He had a 4-point game the other day. The Blue Jackets have 4 games this week. He has points in 9 of his 11 games since they acquired him. So you can find some cheap gems in the open market.
I love that strategy. I've actually been using it. I picked up the Avs, our best team in the league, for 300 coins on Sunday, rolled them out, got a win. Also, a couple days prior, I picked up Morgan Geeky, one of the league's best goal scorers, on a low point of a season, I guess you could say, bought low on him for 300 coins. Now he's in my lineup as a lineup lock every night.
I love it. Check out our must starts, under the radar players, team goalies to play over at nhl.com/fantasy. Download the NHL Fantasy Stars app today and build your daily lineup and watch the points pile up.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Jake, I'll lead us off here. Monday slate. I like the Islanders to bounce back. They're playing Philadelphia, so give me the Isles money line. Utah at Tampa. Give me the red-hot Utah Mammoth, Jake.
Ooh, that's going to be an exciting game, Utah and Tampa. Maybe we get a little offense in that one. We did see a lot of offense in Tampa's last game. What was the final, 8-5 in that game? Or maybe we get the other side where John Cooper wants to tighten it up a little bit. But riding the red-hot Utah Mammoth, I'm just going to take a team that I think is way more motivated, Meany, at this time of the year. It's the Boston Bruins. I don't love having to play them as a road favorite, but if I'm going to play anybody as a road favorite, I want to play them at Madison Square Garden, where the Rangers just never win, and they've been horrible all season. They're coming back from California, coming back from the West Coast. I just think this team is completely tapped out, and Boston is a much more motivated team as they try to hunt down this playoff spot. So I'll lay a little bit of chalk with the Bruins on the road at MSG tonight.
I couldn't agree more. -120 is not too bad, right? The Bruins are playing with a lot of confidence right now. The Rangers are 5-13-4. On home ice. And you mentioned that West Coast swing, a loss in Anaheim, LA, and San Jose. Victor Arvidsson's plus money for a point. He's -110 for 3 shots. He has 26 points in 40 games, 12 points in 15 games since he returned from an injury. He's had at least 1.8 of his past 10. And guys, he's shooting the puck nearly 4 shots per game over his past 10 games and 3+ shots in 8 of those games. So I like the Bruins and I like Arvidsson. I want to go back to Marchman for a second as well. Like, ever since Rick Bonus has taken over, Columbus is 5-1. They're tied for 8th in goals, nearly 4 goals per game. They're playing great hockey. Marchman's on that top line with Marchenko and Fantilli. He's on that top power play as well. He's got points in 9 of 11 games, you know, since the Blue Jackets acquired him. And this is a guy who had 13 points in 29 games of the Kraken. So he's averaging nearly 2 more minutes per game. And he's just in a great situation. And he's plus money for a point. So I'm taking a look at him, especially coming off a 4-point game.
The new coach bump is a beautiful thing as we look ahead to Tuesday slate. Give me the Buffalo Sabres on the road in Toronto. I think the Leafs are dead to rights. The Sabres are on fire. It doesn't matter who that team plays. I might even play the puck line in that game. Vegas at Montreal. The Habs historically have played Vegas well, and I think Montreal wins that game. And then lastly, Jake, San Jose at Vancouver. Macklin Celebrini, the BC native, anytime goal. Let's play that.
Couple players to keep an eye on for Monday for me as well. Christian Dvorak. I know you like the Islanders in that game, Nick, and I am with you on that, but Dvorak shots, Dvorak point, he's a lot of playing a lot of minutes in Philly right now and become a really important piece to what that team is doing. Meany shouts out some angles for that Columbus game. I kind of lean the Jackets on home ice there as well, and I do feel like Edmonton, I don't know, I can't lay them -250 against the Ducks, even though the Ducks did play the night before, but I think Oilers prop, I feel like they do bounce back in some fashion. So I'm looking to Zach Hyman and maybe Connor McDavid for 2 points in that game. There should be some angles. I feel like it'll be hard for the Oilers not to score at least 3 or 4 in that game against the Ducks.
Jakey, we're on the same page. -150 over 6.5 goals in that hockey game. We have a new fun game, NHL Goal Chase, where myself, Pete, and Troy, we pick a goal scorer. You guys can get in on the fun as well. Try to, you know, get the longest streak possible. Zach Hyman's my goal scorer today. For Hyman, I mean, he's only played 34 games, got 33 points. And you look back, since he started to go on a run November 29th, he's third in the NHL in goals. He has 20 in 28. McDavid's number one, of course, his line mate at 5-5 and on the power play. And Brock Nelson, who's on a heater, is second in goals over that span with 21. But Hyman's on a it's great power play, number one power play. The Ducks give up a whole lot at 5-5. And despite missing 19 games, he's among the leaders in high danger shots and high danger goals. I want one more shout here about the Flyers. And I don't know if this is the time where Mitchkov gets going. He's been very, very quiet. He had two goals and 3 points in his last game. He has 12 shots in his last two. And Tippett is plus money for a point as well, coming off a hat trick. Nick, there have been 25, 26 hat tricks in 25 games, 25 days here in January. What's going on? Everyone seems to be getting a hat trick these days.
Even Evan Bouchard. And our apologies, 30 minutes into this podcast, we haven't brought up a guy who got 6 points, right, and he plays on the blue line. So if you want to play anything Edmonton right now, it's Evan Bouchard. But PD props, over to you, buddy. What do you got for us?
Let's go to Kucherov. Leads the entire NHL in points since January 1st. You could get plus 275 for 3+ points against Utah. Maybe a long shot, but I like his chances of that. Also plus 120 for an anytime goal for a guy. Kucherov has missed 4 games and is still on pace for his career high to match it, 44 from a couple years back. And then to piggyback off Marchment, plus 205 for 3+ shots on goal. That's an under-the-radar angle to tap into Marchman, who's been so good lately.
I love that look at Kucherov, too, guys. If you remember the first 3 weeks of the season, this guy was on an extended break, a summer break, Jake, and he has just been obliterating the league since. John Cooper, Coach of the Year, let's do it.
I like that you looked at it as just an extension of the summer. Yeah, the summer is very short for some of these teams, right? It's short offseason. Kucherov's like, we're starting this thing a little too early for my liking. I got a lot of time to crank it up, and he has. He's answered the bell in a big way. I like Pete going for broke with the 3 points. I'll play it probably a little safer, maybe go 2 points for Kuch, but look, he's a guy that he could get 2 points in the first period, and then you're sitting there with that ticket for three, and you're feeling really, really good, Meany. So I like Kucherov for 2 points. I love McDavid for 2 points, like I said earlier, against the Ducks. I think these the big boys feast on Monday night.
And Hagel and Gensel, right, getting just some exposure to Kucherov. I think those are some pretty solid anytime goal scorers. And we've been talking about 2-point props with Kucherov and McDavid and Drysdale. How about we put Bouchard in there as well? Plus 160 for 2 points in a game where we could see 6, 7, 8 goals.
So nasty. He is so nasty offensively on that blue line. And what a night he had over the weekend for the Oilers. That's going to do it, boys. We look ahead to Thursday, Week 17 mailbag edition. I'm sure we'll have plenty of questions in that mailbag. So looking forward to that. Thanks to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberg. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care, everybody.